Hello everyone, and welcome. This video is part of Barnard Expert Series, where we explore key student housing topics through practical discussion and market-led perspectives. In each episode, Barnard CEO Samuel Vetrak shares expert views shaped by real-world experience, focusing on the considerations, challenges, and decisions that matter most to sector stakeholders. If you'd like to watch more episodes from this series, you can find all the links in the description below. We hope that you'll find this episode insightful and valuable. And without further ado, let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kristin, and today we're going to be talking about the future stock, specifically in student housing, also known as pipeline. I am joined by my colleague, Samuel Vetrak, and we will discuss some trends and some news about the sector. Hi, Samuel.
Hello.
Pleasure to have you. How are you?
Very well.
So today we're going to talk about something that I find very interesting. So we already know existing supply. We know existing demand. But everybody cares about the future outcomes of both supply and demand. So let's focus today on future supply. How important is to know about the future supply? What is your experience in general with that data, with that input?
Well, the more the sector matures, the more pipeline is important. We started to measure pipeline in a systematic level back in 2016. It all came out of request of our clients who were sort of sourcing pipeline from general providers of pipeline across all asset classes. But they felt that this is probably not enough. So they approached us as a sector specialist. And we first made, the first delivery was in the UK. At the time, we top up the generalist by about 40% more pipeline visibility, which is quite a crucial margin. And then we continued to deliver this pipeline data mostly for more advanced players who really needed to know what's coming so that they can navigate their investments and asset and product quality, but also for service providers like Wi-Fi, laundry, furniture, because they needed to be in the know for the future. Then back in 2021, we improved it by comparison to others. So we look at other research firms that were somehow directly or indirectly touching student housing. And we wanted to make sure that we know more, monitor more, record more, not only in terms of number of assets and beds, but also KPIs about each asset coming to the market. And then finally, last year, we also compare our pipeline to alternative providers of data, be it agents, brokers, advisors, to be really sure that we have the most data about pipeline that is coming. And not to mention that we are still challenged by our clients, that are usually the advanced players in student housing, and they really need to know about everything what's coming. So now we count about 1,360 assets in pipeline, more than 450,000 beds. And we are probably 10 to 15% better. We provide 10 to 15% better visibility of pipeline than any other provider, just because we are so thorough on pipeline. We have bots collecting data. We have specific team of people who are specialized in pipeline. We update pipeline every week across all the markets, so you know what converted from pipeline to open asset, etc. So now when the markets are more mature, in the UK especially, it's really important whether sort of you know about assets coming to the market or not. That changes everything.
Absolutely. So years of experience, granularity, proven track record. Mm-hmm. So let's imagine that I am to buy a prospective asset, a land even, somewhere, doesn't matter. We can choose, let's say, Paris, just for the sake of the example. What should I be aware when it comes in terms to future supply? What are the factors that I really need to understand before I decide to spend my money on or not?
Well, first of all, the knowledge about pipeline or assets that are coming in general is probably the most data with the most influence on your asset. Because whether you know about something in town or in micro location or district or not, makes an impact on your rents or pace of occupancy and mobilization, basically your NOI, the overall demand supply dynamics. So it is crucial to know, not to mention for your exit as well. So if you're building in somewhere that other referential already transacted assets are, you might have a good referential yield, but if there are two other new buildings that you don't know about, that might really dilute the overall market saturation in that particular location. So, so first of all, you need to know it's coming, and then you need to know about it. So how many beds, what type of beds, what owner, what operator, what amenities. This all has an effect on your asset, because if let's say you are about to open a 4-star asset and the next door is going to be 3-star, it's not necessarily direct competition, different customer, different rent level, or if the building in your micro location to be opened is, let's say, twice smaller than yours, that also has less impact than sort of a smaller or much larger size of an asset coming next door. So it's not only knowledge of, but knowledge about the assets that are coming to the market. And also, is it already in construction? So the likelihood to convert is greater, or is it just planning? Or is it just idea and press release, and you don't know whether this is going to happen? Is it just intention? So the knowledge about the particular assets matter to your assumptions for your own asset.
Yeah, it's very interesting that you mentioned that, especially the stage, like of the project that is in. Like, is it already under construction? Is it already in planning? Is it has? Did it get the permits to be built, etc.? Because I know that many are planned, but few are executed, right? So what are your thoughts on this, about tangibility and materialization of the pipeline in general, especially in student housing?
Well, when we started doing the pipeline data, we quickly learned that it's not enough to just say it will, there is an intention to happen, or there is an announcement of it. That's very let's say shallow, insufficient information. You have to know much more about it. First of all, is it in construction, and likelihood to convert is really high, or is it in sort of planning, so it is in a sort of permit licensing, or is it just intention or announcement without even application submitted? And as we track pipeline already sort of almost 10 years, we obviously have the statistics. So we know in what countries and cities and providers, for example, how likely it is that that announcement or planning application will convert to construction or opening, or whether it happens on time. Also, we know like what type of the product will open, so it's high quality or hitting the middle market, etc. So these three layers and the separation of what type of pipeline is coming matters. And the second thing is that we update data weekly. like pipeline is unlike number of students, for example, the change is usually once a year or only few times a year based on what type of school. Pipeline changes every week. And our clients were really demanding on first, like you have to update it more frequently. So we went to monthly, but now the demands are really to have up to date, not older than 1 week data on pipeline. And just imagine doing this on sort of 450,000 beds and 1,300 assets, you know, not to mention that basically the clients want to be sure that if something converts from pipeline to opening, they cannot find open asset in pipeline, you know, which happens to other sort of research firms. That's we really careful not to happen, and that everything is recorded correctly.
Yeah, to complement your story, I just remembered that we were doing this analysis on Paris for one client, and there was this situation with an asset, very big asset. It was like 800, 1,000 beds announced,
mm-hmm.
and it was in the northern part of Greater Paris. And at first it was this many beds, but then all of a sudden it was like, this is during the course of when we were creating the project. So we're talking like 2-3 months work. So then it was announced that it's not going to be only student housing, but it's going to be like partially student housing. So the beds dropped to 300. Eventually it disappeared. So we were not sure what is going on. And I think at the end, some of the researchers had to travel to Paris to see, because it was a huge asset, essentially. Turns out the asset is still there, it's under construction, but they completely omitted the student housing part. So.
Yeah, but let me compliment that a little bit generalized, that I think people that work on pipeline and our team are really dedicated to be the best, and committed to have as accurate information as possible, as much as if they're not sure they travel. Okay, it's not academic, theoretic information. You know, we travel, we visit hundreds of assets or plots every year. So the sort of theoretical data is complemented with practical field visits, and therefore we have a relatively better pipeline data tracking than many others.
And mentioning visiting so many assets, traveling so much, you, the whole team, the whole company, what is your vision on quality, and like how does new pipeline compare in quality to the already existing market?
It's a longer topic. I would see sort of two directions. One is that many new assets are open within guesstimates or uneducated foundation on how the new product should look like. So they look at three assets online or in person, and they feel that it's enough for them to what to apply on a particular asset next. It's quite a numerous cohort of people who do this, especially on new markets. So they don't factor in all the information and data you need to have about preferences of students. So very few do primary surveys. They don't ask the market. They just reference to other assets. But it doesn't mean that it's good for next stage of the market. You have type of the room, size of the room, amenities, which of them, how many of them, how much you allocate to common areas, is 6%, 8%, 12%, shape of the building, what the market wants, etc. So it is much more than needs to be factored in than people do. And then you have the other cohort of people, also quite numerous, who really care. And they are really detailed on investigating what their product should look like when compared to existing stock, future stock in a neighborhood, and student preferences. So, and these type of companies usually turn to us because we have many more sources and much more data to factor in to precise their future product. This way, both streams basically lead to more modern product, because we all want to buy a better car, better refrigerator, better equipment, and better build or live in a better student accommodation. So of course it's going better and better, but the other cohort is more sophisticated. Example, it used to be the more amenities, the more you can charge. And it's not necessarily such a correlation, especially if you have more than 12 amenities, you cannot linearly charge equally to number of amenities. You know, it used to be so. Or so you need to be sort of within 12 amenities to be competitive, and but you need to know which ones, you know. So if you look at the next door and it's a pool there, well, it's not necessarily the best for your OPEX. It's not best for, it's nice for a catalog, but students probably make a decision, initial decision, oh, great, I'm going to look at it, but they don't use it that much. So you need to select the right amenities for the city, for the district or micro location, or versus competition to distinguish from others. It's more modern, but more sophisticated product, more suitable for the customer.
So interesting that you were able to quantify such a topic, because I would normally say that quality might be, you know, subjective, but you mentioned so many factors by how you measure exactly quality. That is just very interesting to have your perspective. But I wanted to ask you lastly, the end game, rents. How does future stock imply impact rents in the existing already supply?
Well, the pipeline influences the future rents the most. It's not only about the general provision rate or market saturation. The market will absorb the pipeline or new stock over the time. But if there's too much of a pipeline coming at once to the market, then it dilutes the demand, occupancies or mobilization of occupancies, and therefore rents as well. So we have a couple of cities of the 400 cities that we measure, that we see that if there is too much of a pipeline coming that particular year, especially if not only in percentage but nominal numbers, then you know the market is not able to absorb it so quickly. So if on the other hand you miss out on factoring in some pipeline asset that you didn't know or didn't know enough about, that can have a tremendous impact on sort of your occupancies and therefore rent. And if you only miss out by 20 euro or pounds or dollars in your assessment up or down, up or down, so you overestimate or underestimate, you on a typical new asset of about 300 beds, you miss out about 70 to 75,000 euro a year. And this is on average yield about 5%, almost 1.5 million euro. So such a small difference on rent with such a huge implication, only because you did not the right assessment, because you didn't know of or about the coming asset in the neighborhood. So that influences the rents the most.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for sharing. It was a pleasure to have you here. And to our viewers, thank you for watching.